Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, we all want to look forward. And when we look forward, we're either basing our perspective on one thing or another thing. And I'm going to give you this contrast. The world has, when you wish upon a star. And the believer has, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So that's the contrast that I want to paint this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, these words are written. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, and much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, there's a difference. The world's wish has no foundation. It comes from the mind of man, which we know from Scripture is corruptible and is corrupt. It's flawed. It's selfish. It fails. The mind of man is an unreliable guide. But on the other hand, the believer's hope has the foundation of the truth of God's revelation through Scripture. We're built on a rock, not on the sand. Understand that. There's a difference between wishing for something and hoping for something, and that difference is the foundation upon which it stands. I'm sure a lot of folks here would like to wish to win the Powerball, or would like to wish to have someone who they care about make life changes, or who could wish to be different tomorrow than they are today. There's a lot of wishes in the world. But you see, simply wishing for something to happen, there is no power in it. I don't care how many of our modern intellectuals will call upon the universe to help them through a problem. But you see, the universe right now is the playground of a certain fallen angel called Lucifer, called the devil, the prince of the power of the air. That's his playground. And if you're calling on the universe to help you, who are you calling on? You're calling on the devil. You're calling on the fallen one. But you see, there is something that trumps that, and that is the power of the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God the Father, the truth of the Holy Spirit who lives in you if you're a believer. You see, that power is based on something, and that something is the truth of God's revelation of Himself. We got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to the foundations. We've all heard the parable that Jesus taught about the man who built his house upon a rock and how it stood the storm, while the house that was built on the sand washed away. It's all about the foundation. You got to have a good foundation. You got to have a firm foundation. You got to be built on the rock. If you're built on the sinking sand, you're only going to do one thing: sink. Right? So what's your hope based on? What is your foundation based on? You know, 30-some-odd years ago, the founders of this church got together and tried to decide, what are we going to name this church? And the initial list did not include New Hope Church. During the meeting that they were going to vote on the name, God kind of dropped that in. New Hope. Well, a lost and dying world needs some new hope. But here's the secret. The new hope is actually an old hope. It's based on God the Father. It's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's based on the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only place that any hope that means anything is based on. New hope. Well, it might be new hope to me in my current situation, but it's the same old hope that has been since the garden when God told Adam and Eve, during the time that he was cursing them and throwing them out of the garden, that there's going to come one, the serpent will bruise his heel, but he'll bruise the serpent's head. The serpent is the evil one. The serpent is the devil. You see, from the very foundations of mankind in the garden, the new hope was the old hope. That wasn't in the notes. If you build something with no firm foundation, it will collapse. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be next year, but if you have built your future hope on something that has no foundation, it's merely a wish, and it comes from the mind of man, and it is just completely corrupt. As you see, the fallen human being is greedy. The fallen human being is selfish. The fallen human being can stand on somebody else's head to reach the goal that they want. We are uncaring as human beings. We're inextricably broken, and the only thing that fixes us is Christ, our hope of glory. The truth of Scripture is a solid rock, and whatever is rightly built on it will stand. Notice I put a qualifier on that. Rightly built. How many know that from the very beginning, the evil one has tried to twist what the Scriptures say to suit the mind and heart of man? What did the serpent say to Eve? He caused Eve to doubt what God said. Has God surely said, you shall not eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Put a question in her mind. She said, no. No, we're not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. Neither shall we touch it. Uh-oh. God said part of that. He didn't say all of it. Because the serpent put the question in her mind, she's now trying to logically figure out what's going on. And therefore, she has the opportunity to misinterpret or to add to or to take away from what God said. In this case, she added to it. Pharisees used to love to build hedges around the Torah. Eve built the first one in the garden. I obviously can't eat of the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden if I don't touch it. What God said plus. But you see, that doubting of Scripture. How do we know that we are rightly interpreting Scripture? How do we know that the promise of God that we're reading in these words is for us? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, Christian. Every one of us has a measure of discernment. Discernment, biblically speaking, is the ability to tell between spirits. Now, there are three sources of spiritual information. There is the Holy Spirit of God, which is going to give you perfect truth. There is the spirit of the evil one, which will try to deceive you. They're called demons. And the third one is the spirit of man. And the spirit of man will by default try to interpret things in a way that's beneficial to me. It's just what we do. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, God says this. The Spirit of God says this. That means I have to change what I want to do. Spirit of the devil says, go ahead and do it. That sounds dangerous to me. So I'm going to find me some middle ground somewhere that satisfies me. Maybe I got to tap dance on somebody's head to get there, but I don't care because it benefits me. Welcome to modern America. Welcome to the corporate world. Welcome to the political world. Most politicians will sell their ever-loving soul for a vote because they got a comfy spot and they won't stay there. That wasn't in the notes either. The world's wish, the only strength that stands beside it or behind it, is the strength of your own will and your own thought. Whereas the hope of a believer is built on the truth of God and is founded on the unbelievable strength of God. We're talking about a being who spoke all this into creation. We're speaking of a being who knew you before creation began. Think about that. All the billions of people that have lived since the creation of this planet, God knew you before it all started. Wow. The strength of hope is built on God. But you see, there's got to be a connector. There's got to be something that takes the truth and the power and the wisdom of God and gets it into your life. And what do you think that might be? Faith. Faith is the conduit from the throne of God to the heart and mind of you. Faith. Well, let's see. The believer's hope is connected by the strong cord of faith. What is faith? Faith is first and foremost a relationship. It's a relationship between you and God. It is found in a person. That person's name was Yeshua. We call him Jesus in English. The one and only begotten Son of God, who was born without the sin of Adam imparted to him, because his father was not a man, it was the Holy Spirit. He was a human being because he was born of Mary, who was a human being. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He gave himself willingly to a sacrificial death on the cross, not for his sins, but for yours. I do not say ours, I say yours. Because if there was one of us that needed it, he would have done it. Willingly. But you see, because he was killed through no fault of his own, death, hell, and the grave couldn't hold him. And he came forth with power out of that tomb on the third day. And he further ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father until God says, Son, go get your church. You see, that's what our hope is built on. That is what that person that we have faith in and our belief in who he is, what he did, and his love for me is what connects us to that. Faith is not in a thing, it is in a person, and that person is Jesus. It's real and it's strong. And if you have never allowed that to truly get deep in your soul and change how you think and how you feel and how you act, what's keeping you from it right now? Because you see, everything revolves around that. Faith is not based on a pipe dream like a wish is. Faith is based on evidence. We've got the evidence of the truth of Scripture. We've got the evidence of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. We have got the evidence of the history that's recorded in this Bible of how God has faithfully dealt with human beings since the beginning. We've got evidence in the testimony of your friends and neighbors around you, people who God has touched in a miraculous way, people who have changed lives, people who have been miraculously healed from deadly disease, people who have received comfort in a time of mourning and loss. We've got the evidence of all these around us, the word of their testimony. Helps us to have faith. But even more than that is your own personal, the greatest evidence is your own personal history with Jesus. Do you feel His love? Has He changed you? Has He helped you through an impossible situation? Has He given you comfort in a time of mourning? Has He given you peace in a time of turmoil? See, that's a powerful witness when you're witnessing to yourself. Faith has to have a rock to stand on, too. And that rock is the truth, and that rock is the collection of evidence from Genesis to Revelation, from grandma to you, to what happened to you last week. There's evidence for faith to grab a hold of and say, you know what? God has always been faithful. I can trust Him to be faithful. Now, saying that, you may not like the outcome. Because you see, God has information that you don't have. And sometimes things don't turn out the way we hope for. But we still trust God. Because God is still God. I have read the back of the book. You know, there's a lot of people right now diving into the book of Revelation and driving into Daniel and trying to figure out all the eschatology of the end time, what's going to happen next, what's going to happen first, what's already happened. And you know what? I skinny it down to this. You know what the message of the book of Revelation is? It's twofold. One is God is still in control. And the second one is, be ready because you know not the hour. When you skinny it all down to that, the rest of it's commentary. God's in control. Be ready. You heard the sound of the trumpet when we started praise and worship this morning. It could sound before I quit speaking up here. Or it could be 100 years down the road. I don't know. You know who else doesn't know? Jesus don't know. That's the one thing the Father withholds from Him. We have a living hope because Jesus is alive. How do I know? He's living in me. If you know Him, He's living in you. You can trust that you have a living hope because the living Christ is in you through His Spirit. I've got to back up and say this. You know, the world's wishes and the wishes that kind of creep into our imaginations at some time are corrupt because they come from the heart of man. They come from the vain imaginations of man. Biblical hope is pure because it's founded on the truth. Now you can misinterpret it, but the hope itself is pure. So what are you hoping in this morning? You wishing? or are you hoping? Song we sing sometimes up here says, I have a living hope. I have a future. God will deliver me. Of this I'm sure. Of this I'm sure. Jesus is my firm foundation. Is he yours? Because you see, if he's not, how many watched the news this past week and saw the waves hit those beach houses down in the Carolinas? They were on some pretty good foundations. They had big, long pilings driven down, but the waves hit them, and those houses collapsed. They never would have built them there if they thought they'd collapse. They thought they were on a sure foundation, but they weren't. What's your hope built on? Is it a hope? Is it a wish? Is it a dream? Did it come from your mind and heart, or did it come from the mind and heart of God? Does it have anything to stand on? I don't know how much more strongly that I can say this than this. Now is the time, as Freddie has been telling me for weeks, to get real. Look clearly at your heart. Look clearly at your motivations. Look clearly at the thing that drives you. Are you hoping or are you wishing? We got to figure that out right now. The team starts to sing. Stand with me if you would. If you have faith, then you're willing, or you're going to be willing, to yield to whatever God's pulling you to do. And if that's the case, if he's pulling you to come to this altar of prayer and hand something over to him, to hand the control of your life to him instead of trying to jerk the wheel out of his hands. Mandy's getting to the age where she's going to be, probably has been, practicing driving some. You know what the worst thing you can do with a young driver is? Get in the car with them. Right next to that is trying to grab the wheel. If you try to grab the wheel, you know what's going to happen? Y'all in a ditch somewhere. We try to grab the wheel of our life. There was a movie many years ago said, based on a book, said, God is my co-pilot. If God's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Get out of the left-hand seat and let him have it. There was another one, song that was out a few years back, called Jesus Take the Wheel. Why doesn't he already have it? Because I tell you, we'll foul it up, human being. We've got to yield to the power of God. These altars are open. If you need to be born again, if you need to have Jesus become the Lord of your life, come forward. We'll pray with you and introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you've strayed away, if you've been trying to drive instead of letting God drive in your life, come and fix it. Come and kneel at these altars and hand that wheel back to Jesus. What are you living on? You living on a wish? Living on a dream? You living on faith? You living on a living hope? If you need to fix something, these altars are open. We've got a couple of prayer cloths we need to do. Altars are open. Freddie?